It's your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. Yes, welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show. Today, I have the most special guest for you guys, Salah Salem. When I tell you Egyptian architecture has never been so great, Salah Salem. I tell you people, when I told you guys for years, about 5 years now, that there are Nubians in Egypt. Yeah, not just Arab Egyptian culture. Well, today, without further ado, we're going to have coming in the flesh, the mighty, almighty truth of all truth, when you know that your story has been told by everyone else on the planet. It is time for you to hear the story, get the history, understand the advance in technology and the architecture behind everything that we love, whether you are calling her Kemet, ancient Egypt. You know, I'm just 4 hours away, but today I'm bringing to you someone who is very close to home. He is the Egyptian Nubian king himself, someone that the universities abroad look to for lectures, an actual person that we can see, no longer just the thought of knowing that there is an aboriginal brother, highly educated architect and keeper of his history. I would like to welcome to you Mr. Salah Salem. Are you with us today?
Yeah, well, that's quite an introductory, Sunita. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us, where are you from? And tell us about your background.
Yeah, sure. My name is Salah Salem. I'm an architect. I work and live in Kuwait. I was born in Kuwait and lived for most of my life in Kuwait. I'm the first generation of diaspora from Nubia. My parents originally from Nubia, South Egypt. As you know, there's no such thing as Nubia nowadays, because the original Nubians' villages were forcefully immigrated from south of the dam, of the high dam of Aswan, north of the Aswan Dam in the 1963 and 1964. So, my parents also were living in Kuwait since the 60s, and I'm the first generation in the diaspora.
Truly always have been a nomadic people, and that's why inviting you on the show has been so amazing for me, because you actually represent not the first Nubian of Egypt I've met, but the language barrier was not there, the historical context of valuing the history of what our connection is through the diaspora. And the simple fact that when I got to Egypt and look all around, I felt like I had returned home to someone else, I guess watching out for my things. So it's really good to have someone to come on and allow people of the world to know that, yes, you are still here. And they call that gentrification in America, where people are moving you, or in parts of South Africa, all over Africa, all over the world, where when you have a very profound history and a connection to things that are priceless, somehow you're moved away from it. But we're honored. Tell us about your educational background, because this architecture and being a Nubian Egyptian.
I studied most of my life in Kuwait, but when it comes to university, I went to Cairo. I took my degree, my bachelor degree in architecture from Cairo University. And I was so close with the field studies, especially the archaeology and from the original sites, the historical buildings and the archaeology. And also I'm the first founder of the Nubian Group in Cairo University and Faculty of Engineering. I founded with one of my friends, a Nubian friend. He's also an architect. We did some activities in the university, like parties and Nubian parties. Of course, we always try to revive the Nubian heritage through music, Nubian music, and exhibitions, handicraft exhibitions from handmade crafts from the Nubian villages. So it was a lovely time in the university doing that. After I finished my university, I worked in Cairo for 2 years. I worked part of this time as in archaeology project, but this concerned of the renovation of the Fatimic Cairo in old Cairo. It was mainly I was responsible for three monuments, three Islamic monuments dated to the Mamluki period. We're talking about the 13th century and 14th century. It was exciting to work in the archaeology field. That was before I got the chance to come to Kuwait again as a career. And I've been working in Kuwait since.
Amazing. Hearing you talk about the handcrafts from Aswan, you know, that's a reminder for people who want to travel to Egypt, you know, to make sure that you see the Nubians, Nubia, the black side of Egypt, because a lot has changed from Alexandria through Cairo. But when you get near Luxor, keep going down the road and making sure that you're spending your black money with black owned and keeping what little we have left over, you know, really keeping that alive. So that's amazing to know that during your collegiate experience, you keep archiving the Aswan history, no matter if you're in the Middle East. Well, we're not in the Middle East. We're in the Gulf. So let's talk about it. One of the platforms that is really popular today is Clubhouse. How has that been an element to help with your platform, with architecture?
You're talking about the Clubhouse in what way?
Yes. Are there any amazing Clubhouse chats that you've been in that's been beneficial for me? Last week, you know, we just celebrated liberation. So there were so many. The Clubhouse app was just an amazing place to be amongst Kuwaitis and culture and talking about the fusion of culture and how it's been. And I wanted to know, have you been able to use or with your brand and your business on just talking about history, the diaspora, or even your career? Are you on Clubhouse?
No, actually. Actually, the first time I know about the Clubhouse, when you told me about it, actually. I did. Because I use different platforms like Internation, and we have a separate website for Nubians forums. We have one here in Kuwait. We have which is you can say it's related to the Nubian Union in Kuwait. We have the Nubian Union. Actually, this is something interesting I'll tell you about, that Nubians, they like to collaborate together and assemble together through social clubs, through unions. This has been going for a long time. I'm talking about the Nubian villages. Each village used to have their social club. Since the beginning of the 20th century, we have the oldest Nubian club in back to 1906, and my village, their social club was established in 1923, and we have another club, which is cultural club. It was established in 1936. This has been going for a long time, that wherever there are Nubian villages or Nubians, they always assembled under some umbrella, like unions or social clubs. So we have a union club in Kuwait. We do have clubs in Dubai and other Gulf countries. And the club in Kuwait, the union in Kuwait, has a lot of activities here. And we have also the website, which has a forum for Nubians. So anything related to Nubians, workforce or something like that, being discussed in these forums.
Excellent. Thank you for that, a share on InterNation. So definitely people who are listening, reach out in InterNation. That's a great plug. And look out for these Nubian rooms, Nubian clubs, the history, the legacy. After a while, perhaps someone will create a Nubian app that'll be a one-stop shop so we can see what enjoy everything and just really have some unity. I want to know, what are some top three all must-see architectural structures on the planet? For all my travelers out there or people who just simply are listening and can Google, what, just tell us three majestic sites, architecture, go.
In general or
in general, the whole planet.
Oh, that's a big question, actually. In general, of course, let's start with first thing first, the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid is one of the most significant architectural structures that have been constructed, and one of the world wonders till date. So we can talk about the Great Pyramid. And other structures, of course, the Abu Simbel temple.
Yes.
The temple in Ramses II. It's amazing. Of course, also we have in Luxor, we have Hatshepsut, Queen Hatshepsut temple.
Thank you. I was waiting on that. I was just waiting.
Beauty of the proportions and the background of the mountain.
Yes.
All in all, and the ramp going to the...
yes, the entire temple. Golf cart ride up the ramp. You feel like a pebble amongst pebbles as a human, just to know it's carved out of a mountain.
Yeah, and the proportions are so friendly to the eye. You just feel you've been there before, and it's so familiar to you. I think that's what creates nostalgia to such places. I think the Egyptian really hit that chord of friendliness and relief when we see the proportions. Statue, for example, their statues were very good in adjusting the proportions.
Oh, Salah, you are so correct. You know, when you said just feeling at home and having been there, it reminds me, I'm from South Carolina, and we have this thing called a porch, a part of your house where you just sit outside and you're still at home. And I miss that porch. Some people have balconies here, but outdoor living space are big, you know, big thing in the Gulf. When I went to Queen Hatshepsut's temple, I realized as you're talking, it's the porch. Like, you're actually on a porch, descending or ascending with everyone from the planet at home. The real home, like, I literally bumped into somebody from India and turned around, and they were like, no, I'm from North Carolina, and they were my neighbors, but they were dressed, you know, and they looked like they were from India. She was like, no, baby, I was born the same way you could say I was born in Kuwait. But I am a Nubian of Egypt. Thanks for those sites. So we want to bring these things up to the audience because one thing that happened when COVID came was people reached out and said, you know what? I'm going to travel if I could just survive this thing. And we know that the world is going to open back up. And I'm so grateful for the access to just to go to Egypt on the weekends. I literally hop on a plane, 4 hours later, you're home. And I'm back as a school teacher on Sunday to, for you to live in the Gulf as a Nubian man. I noticed that there's an honor system that comes with living in this side of the world and being Aboriginal and being priceless and knowing, you know, the black Kuwaitis that look like your cousins, you know, you're the Nubian Arab who is the Nubian Egyptian who is very well respected amongst Arabs. So that is a lot different from what it's like for black men of America. Have you ever traveled to the West?
Yeah, I've been to Europe several times. Actually, I was other than my lectures in Europe, I've been a lecturer in Berlin University in 2019, and I participated in the Great Nubian Conference in Paris, in 2018. This convention actually take place every 5 years, so it's very rare, and you will not imagine how many archaeologists and anthropologists are interested in the Nubian history, and especially the Americans. Oh my God, it was a really like a big feast or big festival for all the archaeologists and anthropologists, French, German, Americans, from all over the world, actually. But what impressed me, actually, to know about the American scientists and archaeologists who knew Nubia maybe more than Nubian themselves, actually. And I met some of them who lived in Nubia for years and years. I mean the old Nubia before the immigration, before the exodus, let's say. Mm. Yeah. Wow. So there are a lot of materials and research about Nubia, maybe more than any other part of the world. Actually, Nubia has been the focus for the researchers for some reason since the 18th century. So they study the Nubians, and still, actually, they have some research about this. They consider it one of the interesting anthropological sites. and the heritage there is so unique. It's not part of any history of the region. It's just a unique history for and a unique heritage and culture, other than the other parts of Egypt.
You know, Egypt is very sentimental to me growing up, and I can say a part of Black culture in America, almost like a rites of passage, whether it is an artist who would make a replica of a smaller apex of the pyramid, or the fact that I've been wearing Ankh earrings for 20 years, and, you know, the key to life, everyone knew that that was the masculine and feminine connected, is something very distinct about being a people that, although we're very far away from each other and different in culture, there's 6 degrees of separation, and Egypt is home to everyone. When people say the writing is on the wall, when people acknowledge that when, as the earth heals and people will definitely travel, tourism will pick up, I want to ask you this. You know, it's about to hit really, really amazing for as much as we've gone through for travel. What are some solutions that you see for the infrastructure to maintain our dignity? I won't go into the little details of knowing, you know, there's certain historical things that we must preserve. What do you think the solutions for Africans, Nubians, all over the planet can be as it relates to our home, present-day Egypt?
Oh, wow. This is a very profound question, actually. And I've been thinking maybe I haven't reached an answer for that question. This is maybe one of the reasons I made my website in Nubia. Maybe it's an attempt to answer this question you just asked. What relates us as Nubians and who we are, actually? For me, I was born in Kuwait, for example, and raised here and lived here. When I went to Cairo for the first time, I had a culture shock. And I found this, actually, even amongst Nubians, amongst my relatives who've been knowing about, who've been living in Nubia and came to Cairo. And they had a culture shock. I've been hearing stories from my mother and my father and my aunties about people having high blood pressure or diabetes for the first time. They didn't know about these diseases until they were immigrated to other places. And some of them, okay, let's say some of them could move on with their lives, but others still the nostalgia and the homesickness to Nubia coming back to them. And one of the debates we have in the social clubs and unions is what will be our future? And this is actually what my thesis in the paper I presented in Berlin University. What is the future of the Nubian architecture? Because I focused on the architecture because it's the manifestation of people's aspirations and dreams and environment. It says a lot about their lives. To tackle this question, actually, it needs a lot of effort from everyone. I mean, it's not a one person answer. It's just collectively. And I think this is the essence of the Nubians. You know, when Nubians in the past wanted to build a house, everybody in the village had this, okay, today we're gonna build the house of so-and-so. And it was like a festival for all the village, mm-hmm. that they will proceed in building a house for Muhammad or Ali or whatever. So they have a saying, you cannot, one person cannot build a house alone, but 10 person can build a house. And the Nubian house, it's full of memories. I mean, physical memories, like some places in the house being built by the grandfather or the mother or the grandmother, and this basket weaving, the basketry, have been also been done by the aunties and the cousins, and so all the house, it's full of people's fingerprints on it. Just become very, very precious. And this is, I think, one of the reasons that the Nubians had this shock when they left this all to be submerged by the River Nile when they built the high dam without any consideration of any social consequences over the people who used to live there. So I think it's a collective effort to answer this question. And it will be, I think, our responsibility. Otherwise, we will be just extinct. I mean, we will be just, we will be dissolved in other communities and we'll be without any identity.
Thank you for your brutal honesty, because that's what we want to end the show with reminding everyone that's listening that we are all Nubians tuning in right here, listening to this brother, Salah Salam. And as all of us collectively, we know we can't afford a leader at this point because they make them martyrs and somehow use one of us to kill our own. So Salah was very much correct when he said, it's all of us. We have a responsibility. It's time for our architecture to be actually preserved by us, for us, because you can't expect someone else to take care of that which belongs to yours. If most of our history is still in other museums under preservation, it's time for us to come together as a Nubian collective. Mr. Salah, I thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that you can come back and we can build.
Thank you, Sunita, for this. I really appreciate it. And it's been amazing talking to you.
Yes. Well, guys, everyone that's listening, you make sure you click the link, contact, if you're ever coming out to the Gulf and you just want to relax and chill, come to Kuwait. Come to Egypt when you're taking that trip, because it's just so very close. Enjoy this architecture that your ancestors, our ancestors, left so long ago that they ensured that no one could destroy it. It is your legacy, and you as the beneficiary, having come through so much, we look forward to seeing you. Until next time, limitless blessings to you and yours. Dubai, bye, boo.